This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hello, everyone. It's JVL here with my best friends, Sarah Longwell and Tim Miller of The Bulwark. Guys, last night, Tuesday night, we got word that the Inspector General from USAID had been fired. We also got word that there was going to be there were a whole bunch of firings at the CFPB, Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau.
Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Thank you. This is why I was just going to say CFPB.
You'd think it's a big Liz Warren Pocahontas stan that you are. You would know the name of the
agency that she manifested.
Yeah. Well, it was good. Great while it lasted. So I mean, this is all happening, and I want to start with another firing that went under the radar, and I just want to tee this up, and then I'm going to throw to you guys. So the CFO of FEMA was fired on Tuesday. Why was the CFO of FEMA fired? Let me read to you from the New York Times report on this. What happened was this. The firings capped a startling chain of events that began on Monday with an early morning social media post by Elon Musk, who claimed misleadingly that FEMA had recently spent $59 million meant for disaster relief to New York City to pay for, quote, high-end hotels for migrants who called the expenditure unlawful. New York City officials raced to clarify that the federal money had been properly allocated by FEMA under President Joseph R. Biden last year, adding that it was not a disaster relief grant and that it had not been spent on luxury hotels. Nonetheless, just 2 hours after Mr. Musk's post, FEMA's acting director, Cameron Hamilton, announced that the payments in question, quote, have all been suspended, quote, even though most of the money had already been disbursed, and that, quote, personnel will be held accountable. After that, a few hours later, the CFO was fired. So what you have here is the law requiring FEMA to disperse these funds, FEMA CFO following the law and being fired for doing so because Elon Musk tweeted about it. Sarah, can I just put a quarter in the machine and you tell me what you think of all this?
I mean, here's the thing. And I don't know if Tim agrees with this or not, as like a former...
I hope we disagree.
Well, I don't know. Both of us being kind of like Republican squishes, but who like the idea of cutting fraud, waste, and abuse, right? We were raised on the fraud, waste, and abuse of government spending. Yeah. And so there's this tension here right now between me looking at certain agencies that I have long thought, do we need that agency? Like, did that have to be a whole agency? Feels like that could have been a department somewhere.
Was that a thing for you for FEMA? You've been looking at FEMA for all FEMA, these years and being FEMA, like, do we really FEMA. Need this?
Not FEMA, but like CFPB, for example. Yeah, sure. I think that CFPB actually does some very important work on things like when credit cards try to, you know, kill people on like overdraft fees or like charge them really high interest rates, and like poor people who rely on these credit cards end up with these like astronomical interest rates and things like that. And they're scams, right? And the CFPB cracked down on that. And that was one of, now I said, again, it could have been a department somewhere maybe. And so I'm not against looking at a lot of these agencies and seeing ways in which tax dollars are like the level, like accountability on that is important. Transparency on that is important. Following the law is important. And here's the thing about what's happening right now and the way that they're doing it. There is no transparency. We have no visibility into what they're doing because they're just and like when they were firing people, now some of the reporting shows this, and actually I've heard this from people, like I've got it confirmed from IRL friends who've gotten, they sent out emails that were like, dear first name, dear first name, your services are no longer required in the department of insert department here. And so it's
literally from a movie about a dystopia with like a mix between a dystopia.
This is from Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
Boss. With George Jetson's boss as being in charge. What was his name? It'll come to me. Keep going.
Okay. So the point is, there's no transparency. They're not following the law. The people in the agencies are
actively breaking it.
In fact, they're actively breaking it. And no accountability for them, right? There's like, everybody's just watching them maraud through the government and being like, well, we didn't anticipate this. We don't actually have a mechanism to stop them, except for the injunctions being put in place by the courts, which a host of sort of Fox News / Scott Jennings level CNN talkers are all rushing to be like, yeah, just ignore this. Like, I'm watching Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh on Twitter was like, this guy, he was talking about one of like the district court judges, this is disgusting. And it's like, what does that have to do with the law that you think this person, you don't like the aesthetics of this man who has made the decision? So we should just ignore the law? This is where they are now. Tim seemed like he had some thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts, Timmy. But I was interested. I want to get to your question about whether I'm happy about federal bureaucrats getting fired at the end of my thoughts. Cosmo G. Spacely was George.
Oh, there you go. I remember him.
He had a little Hitler mustache. It's kind of interesting.
No,
that just
I think
kind
that
of, like,
I think
worked.
That was the indent that had 5 o'clock shadow.
I thought it was a Hitler mustache. Anyway, Cosmo G. Spacely,
just bad animation,
firing people. So a couple of thoughts really quick. The FEMA guy did nothing wrong is the other thing. Like, it's just important to, like, say that, right? That I'm fine. Again, if, like, you know, my old guy that I interviewed, Jason Calacanis from the All In podcast, was getting dunked on Twitter because he was like, well, we spent too much money. We should just cut 10 to 30% of every agency. Yeah, at some level, like, that would create problems. But at some level, that's preferable to what's happening, right? Like targeting a single person because you didn't like the policy that they implemented, that they were required to implement by Congress and by the last administration. I mean, like, that's insane. Like, that is an insane way to treat federal government employees. And so, I think that, to me, is why, like, this doesn't really tickle my, like, Republican, you know, pleasure centers, like my former Republican pleasure centers at all, even though I'm for cutting all this, cutting waste, fraud, and abuse, because, like, the way that they're doing it is lawless and cruel and doesn't seem, and I can't imagine is even going to be effective at achieving the goals. I could be one thing, you know, you could probably sell me on one thing that I'd be for that our listeners probably would hate. You could probably sell me on, like, hiring some bobs, hiring McKinsey with, like, two bobs to come in and be like, what would you say you do here? And start slicing people. Like, okay, that'd be for that. Like, that's not what's happening here. Like, it is just retribution and, you know, capricious actions by a guy that's tweeting, like, until 4:30 in the morning, morning.
And also, the underlying predicate for the way that they're doing it would have to be that all government is useless. And I guess this is what I was getting at before, Tim, is, like, I could get on board, right, with bringing somebody in. If they were bringing in some forensic, like, accountants or
Mitch
people
Daniels.
Who were... but they were bringing people in to, like, right? do hard audits. Right. But you know what? They don't have auditors in there. They got a bunch of 25-year-olds who are just like, beep, bop, boop, shut down access to emails. Shut down. It's over. The whole thing is done. Your services are no longer required. First name on date inserted. And so, like, this this idea, it also does not, it does not, I'm not getting anything out of it as a waste, fraud, and a Bruce Cut lover, because the idea that government, like FEMA does do some things that matter to people. And if they cut FEMA, so they just like, you know, they're just, you know, decimating it because they're mad about, I don't know what, because they helped Puerto Rico or something. The next, when the hurricane hits, you know, North Carolina or Mississippi, and we don't have anybody to respond, like this is where I keep coming back to. Right now, there's all this activity, and voters are like, look at this. After a few years of not seeing a president and feeling like no one was talking to me and feeling like I didn't, now I'm seeing all, yeah,
all
of
that
these
guy
things.
Was doing was passing legislation and building chip factories and overpasses.
Sleeping and resting. Ugh.
And I never saw him on TV, so he couldn't have been doing any government.
That's right. That's right. That's right. They never saw him.
I fucking hate the voters so much. I can't even.
Full, okay. Well,
you got a full
sorry.
14 hours most nights.
I think this is on them. I think this is on them and not the voters. They didn't communicate about any of this stuff. And now Trump's in everybody's face, and everyone's like, "Look, he's doing something." And for the average voter, that's not. But eventually, there will be negative personal consequences for a lot of people as a result of the things that are happening. You know, the episode that I've got coming out of the focus group is an immigration episode, and without. You know, giving too much away because my producers hate it when I do that. One of the things that's really interesting is that these voters who are Trump voters, they are Biden to Trump voters, and many of them of Hispanic descent, and they're split. There's a bunch of people that are like, well, can't break an omelet without breaking some eggs. So if, you know, the nice grandfather next door gets deported along with, well, okay, whatever. And they're very like, we got to do something about this. Trump's doing something about this. This is great. Then there's this other half of the voters who voted for Trump who are like, but I thought he was just going to do criminals. Like, they're going into schools. Like, what's happening? And well, I think that is going to start happening more and more where there are not all of them. There's going to be people who are gung-ho about what's happening, but then there's going to be other people who are like, well, I just thought it was going to be this. I didn't think it was going to be all of this.
Yeah, two thoughts on this. One is, have we gotten any jobs yet? This is the other thing related to the firing, you know, that I think is potentially a threat to him, because we have some pretty substantive examples at this point of people losing their jobs. You know, we have a lot of pink slips out there going out throughout the government. What has been the positive economic agenda? You know, we've changed the Google Maps. That's Gulf of America now. That's a big win. You know, Sean Duffy, Secretary of Transportation, JVL's boy, said yesterday that we're not going to say air missions anymore. We're going to say air men. So that's a W. You know, we're even if a woman is flying, we're saying air men now. You know, we're changing the names of things. But there haven't been any like big like ribbon cuttings, right? Like, and so I know that like this is the whatever the CFO of FEMA and the Inspector General of Department of Ag aren't exactly the most sympathetic figures to, you know, the mass public, but eventually it does get to the point where, yeah, we're losing people, but are we gaining anybody? And there was my JVL's got to enjoy the most delicious story of the week. Did you see the most delicious story of the week? Do you know what I'm going to tell you about?
I don't know.
The Greene County, Tennessee. Oh, it's devastating news for Greene County, Tennessee. They had a penny
tell
plant.
Me more.
They had oh. a penny. Oh. They had a penny plant.
But the pennies are canceled.
I know. They're panicking. They're panicking because the pennies are canceled. Now, Greene County went something like 97% for Trump and then like 2% for Melania and 1% for Nikki Haley. I don't think Kamala had a single voter in Greene County, Tennessee. Mm. So a lot of concerns. And then with the local newspaper.
To be fair, do you know that it costs 3 cents to make one penny?
I'm against a penny. against the penny.
Pennies are
I'm
over.
With Trump on this one. I'm against him on Gulf of America. I'm with him on the penny. But like, my point is that, again, all this stuff adds up. We're like, wait a minute. So the penny plant's shutting down. The FEMA guy's getting fired. Who's getting hired? Is anybody getting hired? Because we're seeing examples of the firing. And
well, Rick Grinnell got hired to be the head of the Kennedy Center.
I put my one gay in at the head of the Kennedy Center. Okay,
guys,
we went out there. I found one gay.
Tim,
I know
why
him.
Haven't we made more jokes about this? This guy, like, fucking, I hate Rick Grinnell. But this hate.
Worse than Trump, actually, probably for me. If it was Trump versus Grinnell in a primary, that would be the time that I would lose my never Trump status. I would finally fold.
But here's the thing. This guy is like a foreign policy guy. Yeah. And they put it's insulting, isn't it, to put him in, there's a gay at the Treasury Department too. They put a gay stiff at the Treasury. But the but Grinnell being in charge of the Kennedy Center just to make sure there's no more drag shows. Yeah. I go to the Kennedy Center a lot. I have never seen a drag show there. Like maybe that's I saw hair there. They had some naked hippies on stage.
How do you think James O'Keefe took Rick Grinnell getting that gig? I bet James O'Keefe is pretty sore about that. I have a couple things I'd like to respond
to. You have to be deep in the understanding, like the musical theater prowess of James O'Keefe to get that joke.
That's okay.
That's one good for
the real ones.
Yeah.
A couple things. First of all, waste, fraud, and abuse. You guys are engaging on this as if it's done in good faith. Like, you know, you guys are like, no, we're not. Because the point, waste, fraud, and abuse is just the cover story. The idea is we need to thoroughly politicize the government and get rid of anybody who won't follow orders, even if the orders are illegal.
Our point is that we might be naturally sympathetic.
We would be like it if it was in good faith. That was the point.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
As for there are going to be consequences about this, I'm not so sure. And the reason is this. There will be consequences. But I wonder if Trump isn't going to be able to paper over those consequences by just shoveling money out the door to make whole his people when they get hurt. So, for instance, you said, what happens with FEMA when, you know, there's a big hurricane hits Biloxi or something? Well, I don't know. Why can't Trump pass an executive order saying we're going to drop $150 million into Biloxi tomorrow? I mean, who's going to stop him from doing that, right? And I just look at what he did with the farmer bailout in the first term. Remember that the tariffs, yeah. And he then spent, I think it was $24 billion, maybe.
I only know this because I had Malinowski on the pod yesterday, and he was pushing this $28 billion, and he worked for the State Department, so he was making the point that it was more than the entire budget of the State Department was the farmer bailout last time.
So I think that Trump knows how to pay people off, and I think that it is not inconceivable that what he wants to do is cause a lot of pain with the understanding that he can then protect and make whole his people and let the blue state hippies deal with, you know, with the actual pain. I think that's entirely plausible.
So that may be true, but like, can I just on this, like 40% of voters in California are Republicans. And so let's say he's just like, you know, there's a big wildfire and he's like, you know, California can pound sand. That doesn't not do anything to him politically, and certainly not to me, right? When you've got a lame duck president who treats a run in 2028 like a thing, right? The number one way you avoid that, Trump's not making a play for 2028 if in 18 months he's at 39% approval, which is like,
won't those blue state Republicans in California just blame Gavin Newsom? This is what I'm saying. I think politically you can shift that blame, right? They're having bad outcomes, and well, it's all woke Gavin Newsom's fault. You know, it's not my fault.
I keep circling something that I'm not sure is a thought, so I'm just going to say this, but like, if they shut down the government in this way, and there is not widespread negative personal consequences as a result that people can see and feel, that's an indictment of what the government's doing. And so either the government is providing a lot of services that by cutting it off, it will cause pain inevitably, or they're right and you can gut the government and take away all these things and no one will notice.
I guess the middle ground to this version would be it will cause pain, but the amount of people who are touched by that pain will be offset by a greater amount of people who like the show. And, you know, that's all a kind of a TBD.
Well,
you know?
Also, I think, or who get again, bailed out, going to yeah. the utter idiocy of the median voter, I am not convinced that Trump won't be able to make a government shut down the fault of Democrats somehow. Like, I don't know that he necessarily...
Certainly might be. Dude, I don't know. I was like screaming at poor Tom Malinowski yesterday on the podcast because he was like, I'm not saying it's not my fault. But no, I mean, literally multiple House Democrats yesterday, you know, in interviews were like, well, I don't know if we should shut the government down. I don't want to be part of that. My constituents don't want to be part of that. And I'm going, you have no obligation. Why are you even talking about this?
Don't even talk that way. Don't even say, I don't want to be part of it. You can't do anything. Mr. Democrat will not be part of a government shutdown.
Yeah. Point at the other side. Be like, why are you talking to me, journalist? Why are you even asking me about this? Go talk to Mike Johnson. If they want to come beg me to help them keep the government open because they're incapable, okay, I'll wait for his phone call. I'll wait for his text message. But so, yeah, no, it's certainly possible that they'll botch this.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
All right. Yesterday, Elon Musk went into the Oval Office with his hat and a T-shirt and... this is a thing which is fine now. It was very bad when Barack Obama had a selfie stick and wore a tan suit in the Oval Office. But Elon Musk having his baseball MAGA cap and his T-shirt is cool. And he held a press conference while Donald Trump sat there like a little bitch in the corner, which was amazing. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And among the other things that we got was Elon saying... Some of the things I say will be incorrect. Oh. So that's a thing that Dr. the shadow president is. Sorry.
Mate, if you're exing 482 times in a given day, I mean, what are you going to expect? You know, I'm only sleeping from 4:45 to 5:20, and then I send my first ex at 5:21 in the morning, and so you know I'm going to miss a couple.
I have a question. When he verbally engages with reporters, does he say poop emoji out loud in response to questions?
It's a good question. I don't know.
I haven't seen it yet, but I wouldn't put it past Harry Balls to do that. So I guess, I mean, I would like to make jokes about Trump being the senile old man who has been totally cucked by Elon, because Elon is cucking Trump with the government. But I don't think that we can really joke about this. It all seems kind of serious. Timmy, can you? Oh, no, sorry, Sarah, you're already wound up. Go.
I do think it's important that this is an important point. We have all, I think, had a working assumption about Trump, right? There's a lot of where we've all tried to get in Trump's mind, which is a thing I hate to do, but we have this sense of Trump, right? Like Trump won't sit in a corner while somebody else takes the spotlight, that he is sort of physically incapable of that. That is, I think, the conventional wisdom about Trump. But he's doing something that I think we have to adjust to, which is whether it's because of the deal they cut for Elon to come in with his $250 million to help purchase this presidency for Trump. I don't know what deal got made, but Trump is not reacting to Elon the way he reacted to Bannon. And he is not in, like, it's different. Something different is happening. And I do think we need to, like, start saying, oh, I'm not sure there's just like an obvious wedge here, or that, you know, Bannon going after point. Or that Bannon going after Elon's going to create this rift. Like, something different's happening.
Yeah, can I just offer 2 cents on this? Bannon acknowledged this to me when I interviewed him. You know, I mean, like, he said to me just point blank, the guy raised $250 million for the election, and he didn't do it in like a stupid way, like, you know, like the Adelsons did. Like, his was like, Bannon took a shot at the Adelsons. He's like, he did it the right way. He was out there. He was supportive of the agenda. He supported the grassroots. He was giving money to people. You know, he's like, he had, and then he also has his own platform. Like, it's a, like, Bannon even acknowledged to me, like, this is a different situation. And then on top of that, you're, I think, getting into the psychological thing about Trump, like, wants the respect and love of the other super wealthy. So I think all of that is at play here. So anyway, I just wanted to add that.
Yeah. And can I just, on this point about how the money was distributed, I think we missed this a little bit in real time. Like, we all knew Musk was putting a lot of money into the campaign. But remember, there was a period of time where it seemed like Musk said he was going to do a lot of money, but then we all were, it, like, seemed like he pulled it back or, like, wasn't actually giving it directly to Trump. This is a thing that I just think a story that got missed is that what he did was, when you say he didn't do it in a stupid way, like the Adelsons, whatever, the traditional way people do these things is through PACs or through, you know, political organizations. There's like networks of C3s, C4s. Now, you're not allowed to do political work with C3s, but, like, you know, people do, like, get out the votes of whatever. He just did everything straight up through an LLC. So there was no visibility into his spending, right? He just has so much money that he could just be like, yeah, I don't need to put it in an organization. I don't need the controls of the government around this or to do any of that. I'm just going to, like, nobody's getting a tax or I don't need anonymity or any of the things that sort of normally dominate the way the political structures are built. He just went outside of them and with just, like, straightforward money with other and put it together with other billionaires. And no, I think people didn't catch this when it was happening.
Here's the other thing we missed, though, in real time. So we got fixated on all of the waste, fraud, and abuse with Musk's money. Because remember, there were tons of stories of, you know, like a truck full of guys who were making up where they were going because they were just trying to get $5,000 a day from Elon and stuff like that. Waste, fraud, and abuse. And what we missed was at the volume he was spending, efficiency was not important. So in a way, this was like a private electoral version of the emergency COVID stimulus.
Yes.
Right? You've got to get the money out the door so fast that you don't care if it's targeted at all. You do money bomb something, and a whole bunch of it is going to be inefficiently spent, and you don't care because the total mass of the money will move the needle, which is why Kamala Harris won the election and Donald Trump didn't. It was fraud. So he didn't actually win.
No. Listeners, there's always one commenter that's kind of that's genuine on that in the YouTube. If you scroll through, no, that is not correct, JVL. I had one other thought about the press conference. A reader had emailed me a video from, let's see, the Wayback Machine 13 years ago. It has 3,000 views on YouTube, so it didn't really get the big attention. It's President Barack Obama. I don't know if you remember him. He's doing a signing ceremony for an effort to cut waste and promote efficiency, 2011. And there he is. He's sitting behind the desk. He's in a suit. Everybody's in a suit. We've got a diverse group of old people behind him. Joseph Robinette Biden's there. Jack Lew. Other folks I don't recognize. And he's giving a very kind of boring remarks to the C-SPAN cameras about it. And you don't ever need to hand it to Trump and Elon, but I do just think that if we ever get the democracy back again, like we're in idiocracy and mode, and like to get people to care about stuff and to talk about it, like what Elon, if you took the earnest version, back to what you're saying earlier, JVL, the good faith version of what they were trying to do, it's like it's just the same thing that they tried to do. And maybe Elon's more effective at it than the Democratic bureaucrats because of interest groups or whatever, sure. But like that's not what they're doing. And like now he's like in the Oval Office with his kid on his shoulders, jumping around, showing his belly. And like that is, you know, how you get people to notice. I think that like this little press conference here that Barack Obama had from the old times, we'll put it in the show notes. People can watch it and kind of feel warm about how things used to be. Like that's just not a way to get anybody to know about what you're doing anymore.
That moment is closer to the politics of the Gettysburg Address than it is to today.
Right.
I mean, yes. In terms of like eras of American politics, that is more in common with the 1850s than it does with 2025.
Yeah, this is going to be my most annoying opinion for the next however many years I'm allowed to have a podcast, Mike, is that I like the Democrats need to start doing this now. And I don't wish it so. I wish we could have this. Not like there's certain limits on this, but like we need a little more carnival. Yeah. We need a little more show. So, unfortunately.
So I sort of agree with this. I saw that you, Tim, promoted the sort of Jen Psaki Schlossberg podcast. And so I went and listened to it, which is rare for me. I actually try to stay away from a lot of other people's analysis so it doesn't cloud my own. But but I was listening to this guy and I was like, I did not agree. I agreed to some degree with his analysis, which is that so much of it's stupid. And the Republicans are so much better at capturing sort of the stupid attention economy, right? They own the stupid attention economy in such a complete way and in so many different verticals, right? This point about how, hey, man, you want to watch a video about working out and like pretty soon you're down a rabbit hole of like creatine, Joe Rogan, RFK, and like,
maxing.
Yeah. But the response to that is like sort of he's doing like an absurdist commentary on it, which I didn't think.
Oh yeah, no, he's ridiculous. I find him charming and handsome. Obviously, he's really good. I was talking like specifically. I don't have the quote in front of me because I didn't know you were going to say it. There was like one answer where he gave a serious answer where he was like, "The internet does not do nuance, and you should do this instead." I forget exactly what he said, but like he was basically like, "You have to be performative." I was not saying like pretending like you want to sleep with your grandmother.
Yeah,
it's a good idea. And he does other weird stuff. Like you should lie. Like he's a weird fella.
But this is
core point.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the tension JVL and I often have when we're discussing this stuff where he's like, well, the voters are idiots. And I'm like, well, nobody's even talking to the voters. Like it's really, I think it's unfair to blame voters when Democrats, I don't even think you have to go full circus. Like maybe just talk to them. Joe Biden had, it's like people saying, well, it didn't work. This thing we never tried didn't work. Like, I don't know, try talking to people. Democrats. Try telling them a story. Try having any kind of communication strategy that's outward facing that doesn't require a PowerPoint and a ton of talking points. Like,
all right.
Just go say the
or
thing
old
that
people singing. Old people singing.
Oh my
okay.
God, did you see that? No, it's not. Jeez.
All right, we got to move on. Because it's a good show, short show. My Lord. Very
Peter
quickly,
Paul and Mary tunes we can do together.
Puff the Magic Fault Dragon. Hands. You know, I think that song is about drugs.
Yeah,
anyway,
it is, JB.
You remember last week on the show we were talking about Elon Musk's read-only access, and I said that I would believe that when somebody showed me the screenshots of the admin dashboard with all of the permissions that his account had. We did get word yesterday that, in fact, oopsie. He had more than read-only access, but it was a mistake.
You're joking.
It was a mistake. Some of the things he says will be incorrect.
It's just a little oopsie doops.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
I want to talk briefly about the AP reporter getting kicked out of the White House because the Associated Press uses the woke term Gulf of Mexico. And I want to talk about this. There's like the silly version of this, but the serious version of this is
we don't have time for the silly version.
Trump wants to
the AP dead naming the Gulf of America.
Very good.
Your joke on Twitter about how they wouldn't use the Gulf of Mexico's preferred pronouns was really funny.
Thank you.
Very good. It is slightly bad to have the White House dictating how news organizations cover it. But what I wanted to ask is where Fox News is on this, because you guys may
They're
remember
pissed.
That in 2009, when the Obama White House did some mean things to Fox News, mainstream media reporters like Jake Tapper on CNN and Ruth Marcus at the Washington Post took to the battlements to defend the honor of Fox News against the, quote, Nixonian attacks coming from the Obama White House on the integrity of Fox News. And Jake Tapper called it a dangerous path for the White House to embark on. So since Fox had the rest of the lib cuck media defending them, I assume they are going to go after Trump hard.
I think there's some Bible and children's stories about this, JVL.
Oh, what is it?
Sometimes you have to do the right thing, even if they're not going to do it back to you. You know, kind of like, I think there's some just fundamental moral story.
Well, I hope we've all learned from that. I mean, I hope that we're not. No, I hope we are no longer operating under those morals. Because that code is a dead letter, right?
I mean, clearly for them, Fox, you didn't see the segment. It was Dana Perino, it was Steve Ducey. They were coming to the defense of the AP reporter, Julie Pace. No, you didn't see that? I haven't seen that either. Maybe, no.
No.
Oh, right. No, okay. No, well, I'm just saying, I hope that the rest of the media now understands, however.
You know who I did see do it, though, is so FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, which is a great group and has been very principled on free speech. They are pointing out correctly on a number of fronts. They're the ones they're sort of defending Ann Seltzer in the litigation. But they're pointing out that
we don't say her name anymore. Just so you know, going forward, that's the last time I want to hear her name for like a year. It's triggering.
I know. She did us
please
dirty.
Please don't mention her. Nothing against her. I just don't want to have to hear the name.
I know. I get it. I know that that's triggering for you. It's hard. There is nothing. This administration is the most anti-free speech administration we have ever seen. And what's worse about it is that they pretend like they are pro-free speech. And what makes me crazy is that all the people who were these like self-appointed free speech warriors during, and this is what I admire about FIRE, is like, it is a principled through line. They are defending free speech no matter who it is that is, you know, trying to take it away. And as a result, they're all over the Trump administration because this Trump administration is entirely anti-free speech. But all of the people who rode the free speech wave with Elon, no, I don't hear any of those guys talking about this.
Oh, I'm sure Barry Weiss is about to talk about this.
Oh, Britt Hume was the thing I was going to say. He tweeted on top of FIRE that just said, I agree. Right. Okay.
There you go. I'll take it.
I think it was their defending racist speech. I think that was the thing. They wanted to be able to do racist stuff. Yeah. And that was the free speech they were worried about. And as long as they're able to do that without any condemnation, I don't think that they have like kind of broad concerns beyond that.
Oh, wait. Can I just give you some breaking news?
Sure.
The consumer price index accelerated 0.5% for the month, putting the annual inflation rate at 3%. They were higher than the respective Dow Jones estimate for 0.3%. Excluding volatile food and energy prices, CPI rose 0.4% on the month, putting the 12-month inflation rate at 3.3%. So crypto's down 2%. Anyway, the point is, since January, since Trump took over, we're seeing
it's interesting. That actually explains something. As I was walking up, running late for this podcast, I saw that I had a message about how Trump had bleated about how Jerome Powell needs to lower the interest rates. So now this makes sense that he wants to bully the Fed into lowering interest rates, even though the Fed's worried about inflation still.
That's right.
It's going to be great when he tries to replace Jerome Powell. What could possibly be wrong? I will say, just to put a button on this, one of the things we're going to get in the next 2 years, I'm convinced, is a Supreme Court challenge to New York Times v. Sullivan. And because Trump has always wanted to make it easier to sue people for speech. And I think that that is likely to happen. I think there are at least 4 votes on the court for that. All right. Last thing. I would like to have a 2 minutes hate on Susan Collins. Susan Collins has said that she is concerned with some of the things she's seeing. And Steve Bannon over at MS had...
Different from Steve Bannon. This is Steve
different
Bannon.
Different from Steve Bannon. Collins, as chair of the powerful Senate committee that oversees federal spending, could schedule immediate hearings. She could start issuing subpoenas. She could introduce legislation. She could let GOP leaders and the White House know that if they expect her support on, among other things, key confirmation votes, the administration will need to quickly change course on the NIH's future. So, yes, right? I mean, Susan Collins is in the majority and is a senior senator with a powerful position. If she was concerned, she would act in such a manner as to express her concern, right?
I thought you were doing a 2 minutes hate. I was waiting for your full 2 minutes.
I Susan Collins is my new thing. I said this to Sarah yesterday. I think I hate her more than Ted Cruz.
Mm.
Tillis, definitely not Collins for me. Sarah, you go first because I have a separate hate that I would like to end with.
Well, the only thing that on Collins is just, you know, in 2020, I didn't like the idea that there were group like the going after Susan Collins trying to defeat her. Right. I wasn't because I was like, no, look, you guys, we need our moderate Republicans. And, you know, I just had this like residual loyalty to her around the stand she took on gay marriage early on. You know, she was such a champion. So I've always liked Susan Collins personally, saw her speak a lot of times around marriage equality. But it's over for me now. Like, I think in 2026, like you've got to
utterly irresponsible. Her. Yes.
It is irresponsible. And like, it's sort of also like, what's the point of a moderate Republican now? To what rubber stamp Tulsi Gabbard and RFK? Like, they're doing more harm than good now. And so, I have no interest in defending her.
I was on this panel with Rove last week, and Rove is like defending Tom Tillis, which in some ways may be empathetic to him because it's like the hardest job in the world. Tom Tillis is totally indefensible and has no, like, there's no argument in favor of his behavior, really, besides just crass politics. But the best Carl could do is like, I'd rather have him in there, you know, than whatever, pizza.
Mark Robinson.
You know, porn star pizza guy. And I was kind of like, are we sure? Why though? When? Like when? Okay. Then when? Like, wouldn't this be the moment? Because like, we didn't even get to this. Like, I'm going to talk about it on The Daily Show if you want more, but like the Cash Patel like story, there's a whistleblower. We all knew this. This was obvious, but there's a whistleblower that's saying that Cash Patel was pushing or maybe ordering even the purge of the Bureau of the FBI. And he got asked about this directly by Cory Booker and he lied. He just lied. He just was like, no, it wasn't me. And so, like, if this is not the opportunity for Susan Collins or Tom Tillis to stand up and say, I'm sorry, no, like, you cannot have somebody that has an enemies list and a QAnon book who's totally unqualified, who just lied to my face about a purging of, like, good law enforcement, federal law enforcement officials. And it's not even like they're unsympathetic to conservative figures, to FBI officials. Like he just lied about a purge of them. Like, if this isn't the moment to stand up, then when is it? Then you're like, oh, you want Tom Tillis in there just in case there's a real coup again.
No.
And then he's really going to stand up then. It's like, okay, whatever. So I'm a no on him. And
let
Collins.
Me tell you why Carl says that. Turd Blossom says that because if you have Mark Robinson, then Karl Rove is in the position of saying, yes, I prefer Mark Robinson to a normal, median, average Democratic senator.
Right.
And he doesn't want to have to say that. Yeah. That's that would be a more painful and embarrassing thing for Karl Rove to have to say out loud. Yeah. So he prefers Tom Tillis because he is Team R no matter what.
I guess my point about
don't
the
make
cash
him
thing
say
is
that he prefer. Don't make Karl Rove say that he would rather have Mark Robinson.
Totally agree. I guess my point is that if Susan Collins has any value at all, it would be on the Cash Patel situation. Right. Like, say that's what you want about some of these other nominees, and like, they're horrible, right? But like, this is somebody that is unqualified, that is in a huge position of responsibility, that demonstrated himself to be a liar to your face. If not this, then, like, don't tell me you're, like, saving your powder for, like, what is going to be more serious than this in the next year, right? Like, the tax bill? You know, I would rather have you go along with the Trump tax bill, whatever that ends up being, than this. So that's my rant about Susan Collins. I did have one minute hate for the very end. My old pal Eli Lake, we've had a few, we've gone round and round a few times. Was over on his podcast. If you really want to just suffer, you can go find my interview on the Eli Lake podcast that we did a couple years ago. It was, like, 90 minutes and I was hungover and I forgot that I had to do it, and we just go round and around the bend about how he is upset at the deep state for targeting Trump is the short of it. And I was saying that I thought the deep state acted pretty much appropriately in the first Trump term. He's got a story out today over at the Free Press. Trump is starving the National Endowment for Democracy. Doge has frozen funds to the organization that was instrumental in helping the Cold War. It's been a bloodbath. That's the subhead. The story begins with a lament. It's hard to keep track of the upheaval in Washington amid the media freakout. It's hard to distinguish important changes for trivial ones. But what's happening at the one thing I care about, the National Endowment of Democracy, is a very big deal indeed. Is it? Is it a very big deal indeed? I mean, I'm for the National Endowment for Democracy. I think it's interesting, you know, that you would pick that one out of all these other things. Their value is different from the USAID value, which is different from having inspectors general looking at corruption, different from having the top floor of the FBI be hollowed out. All those seem pretty important to me. It is tough for an anti-woke neocon these days, you know, because you got to in some ways you would think happiness. I would think you'd have happiness if you were like a strongly anti-woke neocon, because you have these wins. You've got the Gulf of America. You've got airmen. We're saying airmen now. We're just doing LGB, not LGBTQ. That's a win. Only three letters now. LGB.
One day, you know, like that's, we're going to get that down to just L. One day, if we work really hard.
Probably for some of these guys, B would be their preferred letter. But anyway, wimp, female B, FB. If we just got it down to that, then all these guys would be really happy.
So much truth there.
Anyway, you just think that you'd be happy about that win, you know? Well, that all, you've had all those W's. Sure, you have to sacrifice the National Endowment for Democracy. You got to. I'm sorry. Like, you can't. We can't do, you know, promoting freedom abroad. We can't support people fighting tyranny anymore. We can't help the global poor. But we do get to kind of own the libs in South Mississippi that want to call the beach there at the Gulf of Mexico, I guess. I don't know. We get to own a couple of people.
Two things about this. First, the weirdness of having to couch a criticism of the Trump administration in like three sentences of the media is terrible. Listen to anything. The media is horrible. And the media are saying things that are actually fine. And it's all, but they're awful. Also, Trump did do this one thing that is legit bad. That's pathological to not just be able to say, hey, Trump just did this thing that's legit bad. Like it's a sign of psychosis. But second, Eli and all of these motherfuckers, believe me, they're going to see their way past this. Give it a few weeks.
Of course.
Give it a few weeks. And the National
Of course they're going to see their way past it, but they had to get on the record. You know, I've been totally thrown in.
I was, just so you know. I've criticized Trump in the past.
Motherfuckers. The good news is they'll find a nice landing spot. The people that work at the National Endowment for Democracy, you know, Hoover, somebody, the Manhattan Institute, Chris Rufo's got a Trump, probably got a organization they can work at to make sure that there are no second grade teachers, you know, reading gay penguin books. You know, we'll find that there's important work to be done still in the kind of nonprofit anti-woke space. We don't have to worry about fighting the Chinese Communist Party and supporting freedom abroad. That's kind of a 1980s. That's an outdated problem. So here we go.
Good show. Short show.
We'll see y'all soon.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.